This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين. أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا، فاللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته، وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استن بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى، فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly Him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. When we look into the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find that it is a lamp that enlightens the life of every man and every woman who studies it. With it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the status of men and blesses our lives and our afterlife. And in this book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us is a great deal of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would speak to his companions, he would often stop and pause and recite verses from the Quran, reminding them of the beauty and the knowledge and the wisdom within it. And of the great wisdoms that have been relayed to us through the Quran, amongst the most powerful of them is the wisdom that is relayed by Luqman alayhi salam to his son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ آتِينَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. Indeed, we gave Luqman, we bestowed upon him wisdom. And the scholars differ about the status of Luqman alayhi salam, whether he is a prophet from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or simply a righteous man that is not a prophet. And despite this difference of opinion about what his status is, what is very clear is that he is a man of tremendous wisdom. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records his words in the Quran. And there are many prophets that are not mentioned in the Quran. Messengers even that are not mentioned in the Quran or the Sunnah. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the words of this man, Luqman alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by telling us that he has been given wisdom, so that we pay attention to the words that Luqman alayhi salam is about to say. And Allah says in the Quran as well, وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةِ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever has been given wisdom has been given a tremendous amount of good. And so for this reason, the believer should strive to attain wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you wisdom is a great treasure. It is powerful. We should be striving to be amongst those who are wise. And this concept of wisdom, hikmah, it is attained through seeking knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through memorizing the Quran and having a relationship to it, through intensive thought and pondering and reflection, and through removing the person, their self, from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see this in the words of Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, his words of poetry. He said, شَكَوْتُ إِلَىٰ وَكِيَعْ سُوءَ حِفْذِي فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي وَقَالَ بِأَنَّ عِلْمَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُؤْتَى لِعَاصِي. He said, I complained to Waqi'a, who was the teacher of al-Shafi'i. He said, I complained to him about my lack of memorization, my lack of knowledge and memorization. He said, so he guided me towards abandoning the disobedience of Allah. And he told me that the knowledge of Allah is a light, and the light of Allah cannot be gifted to the one who is sinful. Even if you were to gain a lot of information and facts, that does not mean you have gained wisdom and the light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase as you abandon sins and you increase in your devotion and you spend time and effort in thought and in reflection and in pondering. And through these means, Allah will gift you something beyond those means, beyond what those means can accomplish, which is what? Intuition and perspective and wisdom and understanding. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ آتِينَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. Indeed, we gave Luqman wisdom. And what is the first wisdom? What is the evidence or the first wisdom that comes from Luqman in these statements? أَنَشْكُرِ لِلَّهِ. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first wisdom or the mark of it is to be grateful to Allah azza wa jal. And it is therefore imperative for every believer to show gratitude for every blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them or they have witnessed in their life. And this is the path of the prophets. When Allah azza wa jal mentions prophets in the Quran, He mentions their gratitude to Allah azza wa jal. When He mentions Yusuf alayhi salam, and He speaks about how he and his father and his grandfather abandoned idolatry and the worship of the idols, he recognizes that this is a blessing of Allah azza wa jal. This didn't come from himself. He said, ذَلِكَ مِنْ فُضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. He says, this is from the bounty of Allah upon us and upon the people, but most people are not thankful. When he mentions Nuh alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Indeed, he was a servant who was excessively grateful, deeply grateful to Allah azza wa jal. When he mentions Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says, شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِ. That he was grateful for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions Sulaiman alayhi salam and all of the blessings and the gifts and the powers that are given to Sulaiman alayhi salam, though they are numerous, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions what Sulaiman says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُدَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَىٰ كَثِيرًا مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That they, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gifted Dawood and Sulaiman much of our blessings, much of our knowledge and blessings. And what did they say? They said, Alhamdulillah. They said, all praise belongs to Allah, the one who has given us virtue over many of the believers. And when he mentioned, and so when he remembered his knowledge, he thanked Allah Azza wa Jalla. When he saw the ants speaking and he realized that he could understand them, he thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Bilqis comes to him and she sees her throne having been delivered to Sulaiman alayhi salam already, what does he say? وَقَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتِكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْهِ. Oh Allah, enable me to be grateful to the blessings that you have given upon me. And so, here we understand that Allah Azza wa Jalla has informed us that the height of wisdom is this: be grateful to Allah. We have given Luqman wisdom, and the first wisdom is to be grateful to Allah. If Allah has given you wealth, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He has given you health, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He has given you tawheed and saved you from shirk, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He has hidden your sins, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He gives you the ability to worship Him and to obey Him, and others have been prevented from doing so, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He has given you the ability to fast, or to wake up, or to pray Fajr, and thousands of people have been denied this because of their sins or their weakness in faith, then be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you see your children upon good, if you see them honoring you or helping you or being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and others do not have this blessing, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how great were the righteous prophets and people in their devotion, in their zuhd, and their knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions their gratitude whenever He can in the Qur'an. And the scholars, they say, إِذَا كُنْتَ فِي نِعْمَةٍ فَرَعَاهَا فَإِنَّ الْمَعَاصِي تُزِيلُ النِّعْمِ. They said that if you are in blessings, then guard them. How do we guard our blessings? How do we protect them? He says, for indeed, the disobedience of Allah erodes all of our blessings. So protect your blessings by avoiding the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Luqman says, أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. Be grateful to Allah. وَمَنْ شَكَرْ. What is the who does it benefit to be grateful? Who benefits from our gratitude? And so he says, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever is grateful to Allah, they are only indeed grateful for themselves. It is imperative for us to understand and to know, no matter how devoted we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not increase the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. We do not give Allah power through our worship. Our tawheed does not benefit anyone other than ourselves. Our gratitude does not benefit anyone other than ourselves. Our sins and our disobedience do not detract from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not harm anyone more than ourselves. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith Qudsi, in Sahih Muslim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا عِبَادِي لَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرُكُمْ وَإِنْسُكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ كَانُوا عَلَىٰ أَتْقَى قَلْبِ رَجُلٍ مِّنْكُمْ. That, O people, O my servants, if the first of you and the last of you, if all of humanity, the beginning and the end of humanity, mankind and the jinn, all of them had the heart of the most conscientious, the most righteous, the most devoted person, meaning if all of us had the heart of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا زَادَ مِن مُلْكِ شَيْئًا. Allah says, this would not increase my kingdom at all. And if all of us had the most evil heart, if all of us had the heart of Iblis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا نَقَصَ مِن مُلْكِ شَيْئًا. It doesn't decrease from my kingdom at all. And so this is for us to understand and to realize, وَمَا يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. And Allah says at the end of that previous hadith, يا عباد إنما هي أعمالكم أحصيها لكم ثم أحصيها لكم ثم أوصيكم إياها فمن وجد خيرا فليحمد الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, rather it is your deeds that I will prepare for you, and if it is good, then thank Allah, and if it is not good, then don't blame anyone other than yourselves. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever is grateful, they are being grateful for their own selves, for their own sakes. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. And Allah says, and whoever disobeys, kafa, disbelieves. But disbelieves here actually means whoever is ungrateful. Whoever is ungrateful, then indeed Allah is غَنِي and He is حَمِيد. غَنِي means He is free of all need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any need whatsoever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need for our ibadah. And he is Hamid. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of all praise. Whether we praise him or not, Allah is Hamid. He is worthy of the praise. Whether you praise him or not doesn't change the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of praise. So Allah says, and if you are ungrateful, it doesn't change anything. Allah is without need for your worship, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of praise whether you praise him or not. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِدُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember, when Luqman says to his son, وَهُوَ يَعِدُهُ, while he is admonishing him. And notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us of the wisdom of Luqman before mentioning the advice of Luqman to his son. Why? So that we recognize why it's important for us to study the words of Luqman for his son, because they carry such tremendous wisdom. And he speaks to his son, وَيَعِذُهُ, he is admonishing him. And the most sincere advice that can ever be given is the advice of the parent for the child. There's no one in this world who wants other people to be better than them. Even if you're happy that someone, your neighbor, your friend, did something good, even if you're happy for them, there's a small part of you that wishes that whatever they accomplished was actually for you, or that you could accomplish it, even if it's that you accomplish it with them. Nobody has the sincerity of truly wanting someone to be better than them more than the parent wanting their child to be better than them. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning the advice of Luqman for his son, the advice of a wise man and of a man to his son, which shows you how powerful this advice is. And he admonishes him, يَعِذُهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the Prophet, وَعِذْهُمْ, give them advice, give them admonishment. وَقُلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ قَوْلًا بَلِيغًا, and tell them, and speak to them a far-reaching word. And so part of our deen is to give admonishment to people, to remind them, to inform them, to remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to empower us with admonishment. The Prophet would empower them with admonishment. And of this is a couple of lessons. Number one, sometimes when people are giving a reminder, trying to remind people of Allah Azza wa Jal, they make the mistake of not empowering them. They only make them fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They discourage them completely from worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. They are so harsh with them, they discourage them from the worship of Allah. Yet the companions are saying that we felt empowered by the maw'idah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet inspired them to do work as he admonished them. And the fault is also with the person being admonished. Sometimes the moment we hear somebody trying to remind us of what is halal and haram, trying to remind us of what is good from what is bad, our heart hates it and runs away, and that is the disease in our heart, that the heart doesn't want to receive the admonishment. Sometimes even the slightest criticism we feel is too harsh. Why? Because we've disconnected ourselves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. So the person giving the admonishment needs to have wisdom in how they give it to inspire good from the person. And the person receiving the admonishment needs to put themselves in a place where they're capable of receiving that admonishment. That they're not running away at the first sight their father or their mother tries to give them advice. They run away from it. Their heart is repelling it, is rejecting it. It's like when you're trying to, you know, implant something onto a human that is foreign and the body wants to reject it. The person's trying to give them admonishment and they try to reject it. Rather, we need to have the heart that wants to accept this admonishment, that feels empowered and more connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is this admonishment of Luqman to his son? يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. O my son, do not do shirk with Allah. Do not associate in worship with Allah. Indeed, shirk, associating in worship with Allah, is dhulmun azim. It is a great form of oppression, a great form of injustice. The Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'adh, Ya Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, atadni, ayyu dhanbin a'zamu 'inda Allah. He says, O Mu'adh, do you know which sin is worse in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Mu'adh says, Allah and His Messenger know best. The Prophet ﷺ said, an taj'al lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqa. He said, it is that you make partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though He alone is the one who created you. And so the greatest sins, as we know, and our religion is built upon the principle of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, إِنَّهُ مَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. That whoever associates in worship with Allah, Allah has made prohibited for him Jannah, and his place will be the hellfire. And in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Indeed, shirk, associating in worship with Allah, is a great injustice. So Allah is making the parable between shirk, the example between shirk and between ظلم, between associating in worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and between oppressing and injustice. And just like we understand and can conceptualize people's rights being abused, people's rights being taken away, he explains to his son that shirk is when the rights of Allah have been taken away. Just as we understand physical ظلم, physical injustice, killing and oppression and false imprisonment and stealing of wealth and land and homes, we understand this. He wants his son to understand that shirk is a spiritual ظلم, a spiritual injustice and oppression. It is ظلم against ourselves, injustice against ourselves, using our minds and our bodies and our souls for other than its actual purpose, and to dedicate it to other than its actual owner, its actual purpose being worship Allah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and its actual owner being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it is a grave injustice that falls upon our souls when we associate and worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ. As he says, and we enjoined upon mankind their parents. Allah instructed mankind with good treatment for their parents. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the status of the mother. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. His mother carried him in weakness upon weakness and weaned him for 2 years. And to be grateful to me and to your parents and to me is your final destination. What's interesting, of course, about this verse is the beginning of the verse and the end of the verse is logical and is about taking care of the parents. And the middle phrase of the verse could technically be taken out and the verse will still make sense. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. This part about the mother taking care of her child from pregnancy to the early years, if it is removed from the verse still makes sense on its own. And the beginning of the verse is about being good to the parents, and the end of the verse is about being good to the parents, but there's this middle phrase that talks about the mother carrying her child in pregnancy. And it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I am instructing you to be good to your parents, but I am telling you that your mother is most worthy of your goodness, is most worthy of your good treatment. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the status of the mother, that she carried her child in pregnancy, وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ, weakness upon weakness, وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنٍ, and she weaned him for 2 years. Allah mentions the struggle of the mothers. And it was mentioned that a man came to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he said, إِنَّ لِي أُمّ, he said, I have a mother who is of old age, and when she needs to eat, I have to be the one to feed her. And when she needs to relieve herself, I need to be the one to clean her. And when she needs to move, I need to be the one to carry her. He said, so have I repaid my mother? Have I repaid back what she did to me when I was younger? And Umar ibn Khattab said, no. And the man said, why? And Umar radiallahu anhu said, قَالَ أَنَّهَا كَانَتْ تَصْنَعُ ذَلِكَ بِكَ وَهِيَ تَتَمَنَّى بِقَائِكَ وَأَنْتَ تَتَمَنَّى فِرَاقَهَا. He said, because she was doing the same thing for you when you were younger. If the man is saying, everything my mother did for me when I was a baby, I'm doing for her right now. Umar says, yes, but she was doing it for you when you were younger, and she was hoping that you would live. And you're doing it for her in her old age, and you were hoping that she will eventually die. And subhanAllah, the wisdom of Umar radiallahu anhu in this is that he's saying, even if you were to do exactly what your mother did for you, even if you were to repay act for act what she did for you, you could never do what she did with the same level of love that she had for you. You could never repay her with the same level of love. You know, even if she took care of you, she paid for you, so then you pay back the exact same she paid for you. Even if you copy act for act, you can't replace the love that the mother had. And as if the son learned from the father, a man came to Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar, and he said to him, I carried my mother from Khurasan, from Central Asia. I carried her on my back all the way to Mecca. And I performed all of the manasik. I did my tawaf and sa'i and everything with my mother carrying her on my back. He said, have I repaid her? And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, قَالَ لَا وَلَا تَنْقَةً من طلقاتها. He said, no, you haven't repaid her for a single contraction that she had when she gave birth to you. And in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. At the end of it, he says, be grateful to me and be grateful to your parents. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tied his gratefulness with the gratefulness to our parents. He says, فَمَنْ شَكَرَ لِلَّهِ وَلَمْ يَشْكُرْ لِوَالِدَيْهِ لَمْ يَتَقَبَّلْ مِنْهِ. Whoever is grateful to Allah but not grateful to their parents, it will not be accepted. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse has tied together gratitude to Allah with gratitude to the parents. He says, so if you try to unconnect something Allah has connected, if you try to only be grateful to Allah and not be grateful to your parents, Allah will not accept that gratitude. He said, Allah tied them together. So you have to tie them together in your life. You have to be grateful to Allah and also be grateful to your parents because Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded this. And then Allah emphasizes the right of the parents even more when He says, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبَهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if they are struggling to their utmost ability, if they are doing jihad, if they are struggling for the purpose of what? Of you performing shirk, of you associating in worship with Allah. Now wait a minute. A verse earlier, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you what? Inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. Shirk is the grave injustice, the great injustice is shirk. And yet here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, if your parents are struggling to their utmost ability to make you do this grave injustice, what does Allah tell you to do? فَلَا تُطَعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبَهُمَا. Do not obey them, but still صَاحِبَهُمَا. Be their companion, be their friend. Still be good to them. Still spend time with them. Still smile with them. Still be, you know, in their presence as often as you can. Still be dutiful to them. Still obey them and take care of the needs that they have. Obey them in other matters that are halal if you, you know, avoid the ones that are haram. Still, despite all of this, Allah tells you to do so. When the man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَحَقُّ بِصُحْبَتِي وَمَسْجُدُ اللَّهِ. Which of the people have the greatest right to my suhba, the same word used in this verse. Who has the greatest right for my companionship? My time, my effort, my gifts, my money, my all of this. Who has the greatest right for it? And the Prophet ﷺ says, Ummak, your mother. And he asks again, and the Prophet says, your mother, and your mother three times until the fourth, he says, your father. Then the verses continue. And Luqman alayhi salam says, Ya bunayya innaha in takum ifqal habbatin min khardalin fatakun fi sakhratin. أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله. He says to his son, oh my son, work it. By the way, listen to how he talks to his son. He says, Ya Bunay. Ya Bunay is different than Ya Ibni. Both of them mean, oh my son. But Ya Bunay has the connotation of love and affection. If we try to raise our children without showing and displaying to them our love and attention, it will be infinitely more difficult for them to obey us and to listen to us. And some parents are so strict with their children, they don't want to show or display love and affection and hugging them and kissing them. And when they get older, you know, maybe when they're young they do it, but when they get older they stop completely. But that will make it so much more difficult to give them good advice. And so look at just this change in wording shows you that Luqman is showing affection to his son. Ya Bunay, oh my son. He says, if it were a mustard seed, if your deed is as small as a mustard seed, if a mustard seed was sitting in front of you, you may not see it. He says, if it's that small like a mustard seed, then you took the mustard seed and you put it fi sakhra, in a rock. Imagine walking down, you know, lake shore, and you see all the rocks along the lake, and I told you one of these rocks has a seed inside of it. Can you tell which one it is? Even if the seed was on top of it, you might not be able to see it, let alone if the seed is inside the rock. So he says, if you have this seed and it's put inside of the rock, and then the rock, فَتَكُونُ فِي سَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ, or it is thrown up into the heavens, suspended in space. Imagine I told you, go in space and find me a seed. All the asteroids and rocks that are suspended in space, and I tell you, go find me a seed, it's impossible to find. أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, or it is dug deep in the earth. Imagine I tell you, go find me a rock, within the rock there's a seed, and it's planted somewhere in the earth. How many rocks are you going to find when you dig in the ground?
And you're going to open each single rock to try to find the seed. It's impossible. It's worse than a needle in a haystack. What's the point of all of this? He's saying, if your sin is that small, and you were able to hide it from all of the people, so much so that you're able to hide it like a seed inside of a rock, inside of the earth, yet tibi Allah, Allah will still bring it out. On the day of judgment, Allah will still bring it out. One of the problems when we try to discipline our kids is that we become the source of authority entirely. So the child sees you as the source of authority. So when you are around, they are a certain person. And when you are gone, they are a completely different person. And the problem is that you didn't teach your child to have authority or to feel authority with relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a powerful lesson that parents have to be able to teach their children and to try to teach them from when they're young. This is why one of the Salaf, he brought his children, he gave each of them a bird. And he said to them, go slaughter your bird, حَيْثُ لَا يَرَاكَ أَحَدٍ, in a place where no one will see you. So each of the children went off to find a hiding place so they can slaughter the bird except one of them. And the father said to his son, why didn't you slaughter the bird? And he said, because there's nowhere I can go except that Allah can see me. And that was the lesson he wanted to teach his children, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see you. And he's trying to ingrain this lesson in his children from a young age so that they understand, even if you hide it from everyone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it up. And this is what's interesting about the verse. He says, يَأْتِي بِهَا اللَّهُ, Allah will bring it. And then know that Allah is لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. And he mentions these two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَطِيف and خَبِيرٌ. لَطِيف is that Allah عز وجل is subtle. And this is the reality. How many times have people done a sin and they think that they have made sure nobody can know about it? They stole money and they make sure nobody can know about it. They hide all of their tracks. They dot all of their I's and they cross all of their T's. And from something that they would have never in a million years even thought about, from some weird reason, you know, years later, a little piece of information, a scrap of paper survives, somebody finds out some, you know, piece of information from some strange way, and that sin all unravels and people find out about it. Because Allah is Latif. Latif means He's subtle. In very subtle ways, the sin you think you hid, Allah will bring it out. And if He doesn't bring it out in this world, He'll bring it out in the next world. So He is Latif. And He is Khabir. He is knowledgeable. And by the way, this verse, you know, is a warning to people who commit sins, but it's also a hope for people who do good deeds. How many times do we do good deeds and nobody knows about it? And maybe you sacrificed a lot to help, you know, the Muslim Ummah, and nobody knows about it. Or if they know about it, they don't understand your motive or the situation you are in, so they judge you, and they even say evil things about you. And they have the worst assumptions about you. And you say, I did good deeds and these people are thinking the worst about me. So then you should know that Allah Azza wa Jalla will bring it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Latif. He is subtle and He will reward you from ways you don't even expect that reward will come to you. And He is Khabir and He has knowledge of what you do, even if none of mankind knows of what you have done. And then He says, يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. He says, oh my son, again, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ, establish your salah. Pray your salawat. And your salah, the word salah comes from the word sila, which is the link between the chain. It is a chain. It's a chain between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A link between you and Allah azza wa jalla. Aqim salah. You need to establish your own personal connection between you and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa'mur bil ma'ruf. It is not sufficient for you only to worship Allah alone. You establish your salah and you ignore the rest of society. Rather, the Muslim has to give da'wah, has to enjoin good and forbid evil. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil. And if you were to do all of this, if you are to give da'wah, if you are to establish your connection with Allah and give da'wah, enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil, what is the next necessary consequence? Bad things will happen to you. People will struggle against you. People will fight you. People will oppose you. So what does Luqman say to his son next? وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. Be patient over what will afflict you. You are going to be tested. People are going to attack you. People are going to defame you. People are going to do whatever they can to turn against you. And so you need to be patient for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. These are the affairs of great determination. These are the affairs worthy of our determination in our struggle. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. The remaining verses that Luqman alayhi salam, pieces of advice he gives his son, has to do with our conduct, our adab, how do we treat people. Even if you have the proper theology, even if you have the proper understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you come to give da'wah to people, to tell people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not work if you don't have good adab, if you don't know how to treat people. وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. He says, do not, you know, turn your cheek against the person, and the meaning here is that you are being sarcastic with them. You're being arrogant with them. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرْحًا. And don't walk along the earth with arrogance, strutting along the earth. Don't place yourself above other people. And sometimes when people do good and are trying to encourage others to do good, they end up thinking of themselves, I'm better than everyone else. And the Prophet ﷺ mentions to us a hadith, a story that occurs from Bani Israel of two men. He says, there are two men from Bani Israel. One of them is very observant, worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other one commits sins. And the one who is observant and worships Allah is devout. He tells the one who is sinning, why are you sinning? So he keeps telling him, why are you sinning? And telling him, and the one who is sinning tells him, دعني ورب, leave me with my Lord. But he keeps reminding him, and he keeps sinning. Until one day, the one who is reminding becomes a little bit arrogant. He becomes too arrogant, in fact. And he tells the one who is sinning, لا يغفر الله لك. You, Allah will never forgive you. Because of what you've done, Allah will never forgive you. The Prophet ﷺ says, on the day of judgment, Allah will resurrect these two men. And Allah will say to the one who is observant, the one who prayed all of his prayers, the one who donated, the one who was worshipping, He will turn to that man and He will say to him, what gave you the authority to speak about me? What gave you the knowledge to say what I'm going to do? And what gave you the authority to limit my abilities, to say that I'm not capable of forgiving this man? And because of this, Allah Azza wa Jalla will punish that man. And then Allah will turn to the one who sinned, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him and enter him into Jannah. And this is a reminder to people who are giving da'wah to others. Yes, when people are committing sins, you should tell them not to commit those sins, to remind them of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but not to become arrogant. وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرْحًا. Don't walk this earth strutting with arrogance, thinking just because you memorized some Qur'an or you've done some good deeds that you're better than everyone else. This is not the way of the believer. And then he says, وَقْصُدْ فِي مَشْيِكْ. Rather walk with moderation. Walk with some humility. وَخْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكْ. And lower your voice. إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتِ الْحَمِيرِ. Rather, the most heinous of the voices are the voices of the donkeys. When we argue with people in a way that becomes ego-filled, and we're just arguing because we want to prove that we're right, and no longer does it become centered around encouraging people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we become like the donkeys braying against each other. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when he is with Abu Bakr, and a man comes cursing them, and the Prophet remains silent, and Abu Bakr can't, you know, see the person cursing the Prophet ﷺ, so Abu Bakr responds harshly to the man who's cursing the Prophet. The Prophet gets up and walks away. Abu Bakr goes after the Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, are you upset with me? And the Prophet ﷺ says, no, but when we were silent, Allah sent an angel to respond to the man. And when you responded, the angel left and a shaitan came in his place. That when Abu Bakr answered, perhaps his answer entered into some level of arrogance, some level of ego, the angel left and shaitan came. And this is a lesson for us. Not to be arguing in the way that animals argue, to bring the shayateen, rather only to argue in a way and to speak in a way that brings people towards wisdom and towards the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so these are of the great lessons of Luqman alayhi salam that we can implement with our children, with our families, and within ourselves, and the way that we interact with society. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who have attained the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, I encourage all of you at home, inshallah, to pray four raka'ahs with the intention of Salat al-Dhuhr. And I ask all of you, inshallah, to please donate to the masjid to keep us running during these difficult months. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد اللهم صل على محمد ما ذكره الذاكرون الأبرار وصل عليه ربنا ما تضوع مسك وفاح صل عليه ربنا صلاة وسلام دائمين إلى يوم الدين وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أمهات المؤمنين وعلينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضواننا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها وسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين واعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون عبد الله بن الصلاة.